This sermon today was inspired by St. Nikolai Velimirovich. I want to make that clear. And I want to give credit to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We live in a world that believes in the power of evil. Jesus Christ was born into a world that believed in the power of evil. The belief of the world is that evil must be dealt with on its own terms. You have to deal with fire by use of your own fire. There is a link in the heart of every human being to the evil in the world. And we seek power in order to control the evil of the world by way of a complicity with that evil within ourselves. That has been the understanding of the world since the fall of the first parents. Jesus Christ came into the world to show that good is more powerful than evil. And he came in order to establish in a fallen world the power of good over evil. And that necessitated the cross. The cross and the destruction of the power of evil and the presence of death in the world. That's what Christianity is about. It's about nothing else. The irony is that the Christian faith, which is based on an assertion of belief in good, in holiness, and the power of good and holiness over evil, and our participation in Christ's establishment of the power of good in a fallen world, was twisted into a theology and preached as fullness of Christianity to say that, yes, evil is more powerful than good in this world. Yes, you will die. Yes, you are damned. Yes, you deserve to go to hell. But Christ has come and made it possible so that in the end, after a life lived in a world that is given over to evil, that Christ came and had no power to change the way things are in the world. In the end, you will be saved from fire. You'll be saved from hell. Meanwhile, you live in a fallen world. Meanwhile, being a fallen creature who does not have the ability, the capacity to do good in concert with Christ, you will do the things that you need to do to survive in such a world and confess your sins. That is not the Christian faith. That is a distortion of the Christian faith. God created this world good. The things of this world are meant to be ways that human beings can do good and participate in divine life. That's how it's meant to be, and Jesus Christ came and reestablished that as a way of life. God knows that the world is good because he created it good. The faith of Jesus Christ is a faith in goodness and holiness, and he tries his very best in a pastoral way with all of those that he meets during the 3 years of his ministry to win them over to a faith, a belief in goodness, in righteousness, in holiness, and in the greater power of good over evil. And it is the incarnate Son of God himself in the presence of these people who is preaching and teaching these things. And yet it is very seldom that there is a response. In the passages that we've just read today, something extraordinary has just happened. Peter, James, and John have just come down from Mount Tabor, where they saw the Son of God revealed in his brightness, in the original glory that is in him, that is veiled by virtually everyone because of our faith in the ultimate reality of the power of evil over good in this world. The loss of our ability to have a oneness of communion with God and a knowledge of him in our hearts, a preference for him, a pursuit of him, a love of holiness and goodness that opens our eyes to the goodness of God's creation and his presence in the world. All of us are blind to that. Peter, James, and John have been taken up onto the mountain, and they have had that revealed to them. And then they come down the mountain, and they re-enter a world where all at the foot of the mountain are cowed and fearful by the presence of sin and suffering and death in the world. All of them believe in the ultimate power of evil over good. A man has been brought to the other apostles, those that were not of sufficient faith to come with Jesus up on the mountain of Mount Tabor. The man has been brought by his father to them, who has a dumb spirit, a deaf and dumb spirit. You know, if we've read the book by Elder Thaddeus, or at least heard about it, or at least seen the title in the bookstore, or heard other people talk about it, our thoughts determine our lives. What goes on in the mind, where the real battleground takes place, that's what determines our lives. Christ has come into the world in order to deal with what goes on inside of human beings. That is where the battleground is fought and lost by the vast majority. Our belief, our faith in the ultimate power of evil in the world and our compromise with it in order to gain worldly strength, that battle takes place within a human being. What goes on inside of human beings is the source of what is wrong with the world. It is the reason for the fall. And Christ comes in order to deal with that. And he finds the minds of his disciples cowed by this presence of sin and suffering and death. And he finds this man who has brought this son, the deaf, dumb spirit. What does that mean? What goes on in the mind of a person whose thoughts are veiled, as this particular young man's thoughts are controlled by the presence of this spirit that prevents the action of spiritual intelligence, the nous, the spiritual mind that is meant to govern a human being? If we are not governed by the active spiritual mind, a mind like the mind of Christ, a mind that makes a human being like God, so that he can deal with the specifics and particulars of every moral crisis, every encounter with another person, by way of a spiritual realism that knows that goodness and holiness is more powerful than any evil, more powerful than any power of this world. In the mind of a person whose spiritual intelligence, whose mind in the spiritual sense is whole and strong, there is no belief in the ultimate power of evil. There is no determination in order to gain an advantage over the presence of sin and suffering and death in the world by establishing oneself. There is no belief in oneself. There is instead a belief in the goodness and holiness of the one who created this world, the goodness and the holiness of the world that God created, and the goodness and holiness of each one of us that determines that our cooperation will be only with that goodness and only with that holiness, and the knowledge that there is no evil that can stand against it. That is the mind of a Christian. But Christ has come into a world where there is no such mind other than his own. He came into the world in order to share this ultimately and fully human mind of understanding, love of God, ability to be the presence of Christ in the world. He came into the world in order to share that with us. He will destroy the power of sin and suffering and death over us ultimately at the cross. That's why he refers, after he has healed the young man, inexplicably, to us who are reading these verses, why after this accomplishment, why after this revelation of the power of goodness and holiness over darkness, why after this revelation of the faith that he awakens in the Father, does Jesus immediately refer to the fact that soon he will be going to the cross and he will die on the cross, but he will arise? Because that is how he is going to establish the goodness and ultimate power of good in this world, even in a world that is fallen into sin and suffering and death. That's how it's related. He has come to preach this message, and it's a message that seldom gets response. In the case of this father, the father has very little faith. The scribes that surround the apostles and discourage them by their arguments, they have no faith. The apostles have little faith, and the father of the man has just a glimmer, just a little bit of faith. Unlike those who come to Christ and express faith in him, that he can do what they ask of him, like the centurion and the woman who took hold of the hem of his garment. This man says, "We suffer. My son suffers, and I suffer along with him. It is our suffering. We are suffering because of this spirit that has taken hold of my son. And it's like he has no mind of his own. He's like he's not conscious of the things that he does when this spirit takes hold of him and casts him into the fire and does things of terrible danger to him. We are suffering. If there is anything you can do, please help us." A very, very small faith. And Jesus compassionately with this man, imagine, after having come down from Mount Tabor, having revealed his divinity in his humanity to the apostles, he comes down into a world where there is barely any faith, even amongst his disciples. And he cries out in pain, "How long must I be with this faithless generation? How long must I endure being in a place where no one believes in what is good and holy and true and beautiful and real, where everyone is dominated by their absolute faith and confidence in the power of evil rather than good?" And he turns to this father, whose faith is the same as the others, except for just this little bit of faith. And he deals with him compassionately. And he says gently to the man, "If you could have but a little faith, then God can respond to that faith. If your desire is to increase that faith." In another account, in one of the other gospels of this same incident, is when the gospel writer mentions the comparison when it comes to faith with the grain of mustard seed. So small, but if you grind it, put it in a loaf of bread, all you can taste is mustard. It's that powerful. A mustard seed that is so small, just incredibly small, but if you plant it, it can grow into a tree that birds can come and shelter in. It's an image of the tree of life. If we have this faith, a little faith in goodness, and the fact that our hearts are meant to be pure hearts of holiness, loving God, that kind of faith can grow. It was the faith of Christ in our humanity because he knew that the world was good. He knew that the human heart was good. His heart, the heart of Jesus Christ, was a fully human heart. It was a good heart, a noble heart, a beautiful heart, a place where there was no place for evil, and our hearts can be the same. He knows that. And that faith that he comes and plants grows into the tree of life that we see in the icon. All of the apostles become men of faith and women of faith in that same tree that grows from this planting of the tree of faith in the superiority of the power of good in this world, even this fallen world. He is reaching into the heart of this father for that faith, that love of God. And the man responds. He says, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Help thou my unbelief. What does that mean? It means put an end to my faith in the superiority of the strength of evil in this world, so that I am cowed and only depend on the establishment by power, powerful men and women in the world. Myself, when I act in power and violence in order to establish things in the world, and I am not a person who can do that. I am a powerless person. I'm at the mercy of the presence of evil and power in this world. Lord, help me to put an end to that faith that makes faith in goodness and holiness and you here before me possible. Lord, I believe. He responds to the presence of God. Lord, help my unbelief. Destroy the belief in my heart that is opposite from belief in you, in holiness. And the man's faith grows even as he speaks. And Jesus casts out the demon. And then immediately he prophesies that he will cast out the demons of all humanity on the cross by his own death and resurrection. Our faith in the evil of this world is what has to die. The way we have established a self-love and an identity based on the effort to dominate and control and make a good show of things, that has to die in order for there to be a faith in goodness and holiness and meekness and mildness. There has never been in this world a widespread faith in holiness. There has been a veneration of holiness. You put those that are holy at a distance, admire them, be inspired by them in a way that does not change yourself. Inside, your commitment is still to the practicality of the fact that this world is dominated by sin and suffering and death, and there has never been anything that anyone could do about it. That is a rejection of the gospel of Jesus Christ and his power in this world. If we are Christians, we cannot affirm the power of evil in this world to be greater than the power of Christ. The world is changed from within us, and that is the place where the battle must take place. Jesus tells the apostles who ask, why could we not cast this dumb spirit out? And he tells them, this kind can only be cast out by prayer and fasting. Prayer, going into the presence of God in order to cleanse ourselves of our faith in the world, in order to cleanse ourselves of faith in raw power that we believe in and that we enact in our lives in the world, to cleanse ourselves of that worldly faith. That comes only by the spiritual effort to cleanse the lust and the desire that dominates our lives and puts us in concert, puts us in harmony with the spirit of evil that dominates this world. And after and during the effort of spiritual fasting from that belief in the greater power of evil than good in the world, then comes the prayer that fills us with the Holy Spirit, that fills us with the presence of God. By standing in the presence of God, having cleansed us of faith in the world, we fill ourselves with the love of the good and the holy. And our meekness becomes a meekness of strength. It is meekness in terms of the belief in the power of the world. But it is strong and bold in terms of our faith in the goodness and the holiness of a heart that is united to Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.